Thank you for joining another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We are always delighted to be with you as we see this as a wonderful opportunity to get into God's Word and to learn more about what He says concerning the things that pertain to life and godliness. This is a live call-in radio broadcast where you can call in your question, and we will go to the Bible for the answers. Go ahead and call right now. The lines are open. That number again is 308-9564. 308-9564. Just want to say thank you to our listeners who tune in week after week. We're sure hoping that this is a help to you. We're hoping for those of you who have signed up for the Bible Correspondence course that that's been a help to you. All we really want to do is aid you in your study of God's Word. And so anything we can do to help you in that, please let us know. We want to be of service to you in helping you study God's Word. The lines are open right now, and you can call in your questions. So go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. From time to time, we make mention of why we put so much emphasis on letting the Bible speak. It's because God has placed a tremendous amount of emphasis on us not just being hearers of the Word, but being doers of the Word. And it is difficult to do the things that God says unless I actually know what He says. The Bible says in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, and verse 21, that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. The Bible says in verse 22 that many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? There'll be many people who have done a lot of wonderful things, but unless they do it according to what God has said, then it will produce for them nothing. Perhaps it will produce the thing that they want least, and that is eternal damnation. We have to do what God says do, and so we must become very familiar with His Word. And that's what this program is designed to do, to help you in that journey, a journey of becoming a student of the Scriptures, becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. So go ahead and call in your questions right now. 308-9564. The lines are open. That's 308-9564.
Now is your opportunity to be able to join in and get your questions answered on today's broadcast. And we want to assist you to find the answers so that we might be able to know what God has to say concerning the questions on your mind. Now, we have the voice line, which is 308-9564. Both lines are now available. Most of you that tune in each week know that we have a surplus of calls at the end, and many times it takes a while to get the calls coming in at the beginning. So why not go ahead and ask your question now so that you do not have to wait on your turn to have your question answered. That number is 308-9564. Or if you'd rather text us, you can text us at 725-9283. That's 725-9283 is our text number. And you can text us your question, and we will go to the Bible for the answer on today's broadcast. Now, some of you may have relatives or people that you know that are in other states or even out of the country. If you want to alert them right now to give them a call and have them go to our website, which is at www.BibleAlone.com, they can join in with this discussion, with this study today, live on the air, live over the Internet, just by hitting the live stream button at the bottom of the page. That's at BibleAlone.com, and at the bottom right-hand side, there is a button to push for live stream, and then they will also be able to hear this broadcast anywhere in the world. So please do not miss this opportunity to help them to come to a knowledge of the Bible as well. Now, the number for voice is, all of these are area code 843, and the voice line is 843-308-9564. Our text number is 843-725-9283. Either way, we are more than happy to take your question, and we will go to the Bible for the answer. We're glad to have you join us today, and we hope that you will also be able to join us as we go to the Bible for the answers today to the questions that you have in mind. Again, the numbers are 308-9564, 308-WJNI, or you can text us at 725-9283.
Require us to fast, which is not eating food for a period of time. Well, there's a couple of examples we're going to look at. Two of them are in Matthew. The first is in Matthew chapter 4, verse 2. That's an example of Jesus fasting. So we have an example of Jesus fasting. For he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. That's in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 2. And then if you turn over a couple pages to Matthew chapter 6 in verse 16, we see a guideline for fasting and how your behavior should be. In Matthew chapter 6 verse 16, it says, "Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward, which is to be seen by other people." So that shouldn't be one of your that shouldn't be your attitude while fasting. Your attitude while fasting would be you're fasting to God for God. And the other example we want to look at is in the context of a married couple. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. It's starting in verse 4. Starting in verse 3, it says, "Let the husband render to the wife the affection due her, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does." And in verse 5, it says, "Do not deprive each other, except for a time with consent, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. And come together again so that Satan does not tempt you because of your self-control." So we see an example of Jesus in Matthew 4, verse 2. Then we see the example of how not to fast in Matthew 6, verse 16. In Matthew 6, verse 16, he says, "And when you fast," giving the connotation that there will be times when you're fasting. And also we see an example for a married couple. The only time that they should deprive one another in their physical relationship is for prayer and fasting. And so we see those are the examples. Once again, that's Matthew chapter 4, verse 2, chapter 6, and verse 16, both of those are Matthew, as well as 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 5. Ricky, you need to add something to that?
Yes, there's a couple more examples the radio audience may like to know about, and that's in Acts chapter 13, when the disciples were called by the Holy Spirit to separate Barnabas and Saul to send them on their first journey. It says in verse 3, "Having fasted and prayed, laid hands on them, and they sent them away." And then so as they went on that first journey, you find also in chapter 14 where that Paul, as he would go back and visit these churches, as he came back through, it says in verse 23, it says, "So when they appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed." And so there, that both of those seem to be a solemn occasion of sending forth Paul and Barnabas on this first trip, and then a solemn occasion where they ordained elders in every church was also. Their prayers were accompanied with fasting. And so that is something that was done, most likely in their petition to God because they were praying because it was such a very important event taking place. And so those are a couple more. There's probably other examples. I'm sure there are other examples as well. But that gives you an idea of the what the teaching is that gives us regulations that it's not to be seen of men. And it's to petition God in those behalfs. So, again, the number, if you have a question you would like to call right now, call 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI, or you can text us at 725-9283.
What Ricky and Chuck highlighted was, I think the question was, "But do you have to fast?" And what they highlighted, Chuck brought out the idea from Matthew chapter 6, verse 17, that this was something that Jesus would expect his disciples to do. He says in that text, "When you fast." Well, that suggests, or that presupposed, that that's something they were going to be doing. And then Ricky highlighted some examples of the church. They are doing it, you know, prior to sending men out to preach the gospel and in the selection of elders, they would fast. And so we see an example of the church doing it. So we have Jesus' words. We have an example of the church doing it. And so, yes, that was going to be a part of the child of God's life. They were going to fast. So I hope that's been helpful to you. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564, 308-9564. And as was mentioned earlier, we do have a text line that you can text in your question. That number is 725-9283, 725-9283. We also have a website where you can go to, and you can not only listen to the broadcast, but you also can gain access to material, material that will aid you in your study of the Scriptures. You can download that material free of charge. Everything that we do is designed to be free, and it's just designed to help you in your study. And that website is www.BibleAlone.com. That's www.BibleAlone.com. In just a few moments, we're going to take a break and tell you about some free correspondence material that we can send to you in the mail. This correspondence course is really designed to help you further learn about the things of God. There are many things today that's not being taught, and yet we find those things in the Bible. Remember what we said at the onset of the program, that God wants us to be doers of the words, not hearers only. Well, how can I do if I do not hear? Well, how can I do what God says if I do not know what he says? And so for those of you who may have been thinking about signing up for the correspondence course, we want to encourage you to do that. There is an operator standing by who will take down your information, and we will send the course to you in the mail. But think about it. Take it very, very seriously. If you need to know more about God, if you're not satisfied with your knowledge concerning the Word of God, then this correspondence course will be an aid to you. It will be a blessing to you. And so we're going to tell you about that in just a few moments. We'll come back after the break, but even while we're at break, you can call in your question, 308-9564. Again, that number is 308-9564. We'll be right back.
We're back live now. We are so glad that you have taken out the time to join us and that we can go to the Bible for your questions. As we go to the Bible, please keep in mind that this is not the words of man. This, as we read in God's Word, is the Word of God. It sounds kind of redundant, but so many today think of the Bible as the good book, or think of the Bible as, well, that's the holy book. But they don't think about it as, this is God speaking to man. This is God's instructions to us. Well, that's the way God tells us that we're to receive the Word as truth, the Word of God. And thus, when he speaks to us, it should make a difference. And so we're going to go to the Bible for the answers. Thus, God is the one that you're going to be listening to through these words, not mere men. So we just want you to know that he may be using this program via the Bible to speak to us, but it is God that we hear, and that thus we must give an account to him one day. We have a danger. The Lord tells us in James chapter 3 to be not many teachers, knowing we have a greater judgment. And so we are putting ourselves at risk for your benefit so that we might all be able to be in heaven one day. And so when that roll is called up yonder, yeah, did you say that? Did you say I'll be there? Yeah, we'll be there, but will he call our name to say enter in? That's the crucial ingredient here. We need to make certain that when we are standing before him in judgment, that he will be able to say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of the Lord. That's the whole purpose behind this, and so we're committed to pointing out what the Bible says concerning the questions that are on your mind. And so we thank you for joining us today. The Bible correspondence course we just talked about is free. You can take that. We'll have it in tomorrow's mail for you. You can take that and study it in the privacy of your home anytime you want to, in the middle of the night or in the morning. All you do is fill it out. It's very simple. It progresses from simple to more complex. And thus, as you continue to be challenged each and every mailing, you will grow in the Lord, and thus we will all be blessed together as we go to the Bible to find the answers that pertain to life and godliness. So let us send that to you. Again, that number to receive that correspondence course is 553-5157. If the number is busy, then just jot it down. Keep on calling till you get through. Only one can call into that number at a time. So that, again, is 553-5157. But now if you have a question, go ahead and call the station here. We will be glad to take your question right now at 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. 725-9283 is the text number. So go ahead with your cell phone. You can text in your question as well.
We were talking a lot about focusing our attention on God's Word and knowing God's Word, and there's a number of reasons to do that. But one of the core reasons for us collectively to know about God's Word is because there are many teachers out there. It's just not teaching the truth. This should not be shocking. You know, many people have walked away from religion altogether because of the variety of things that are taught in the name of religion. That should not cause us to fear, because God has given us the truth, and he's encouraging us to be on guard. In fact, in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bringing on themselves swift destruction." Even in the first century church, you had those who were teaching false things. So that should not shock us. And the beautiful thing about the scripture is God doesn't try to hide the bad things. You know, if man would have wrote the Bible, it wouldn't be no bad things in here. You know, there wouldn't be no false teachers. Everything would have been nice and rosy. But God tells us that there were false teachers during this time period, and these people need to be on guard. And well, why were these false teachers able to be so productive? Well, people. People were a certain way during that time period, and no different than you and I today. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, Paul tells Timothy, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine or sound teaching, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." This idea of itching ears simply is the idea that I want to hear what I want to hear. You know, I want to do what I want to do. And in fact, a popular saying in the religious world is, you go find the church of your choice. But you know, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 through 18, he would build his church. You know, he only built one church. And so if there's only one, how in the world can you go find one of your choice? He only built one. There is no choice. So you have to go find his church and become a part of his church. There are those who will get you into believing that there are multiple churches out there. You just go find the one that fits your attitude. If you want to continue in sin, go find that church that's going to allow you to continue in sin. If you want to keep all your money in your pocket, go find that church that will allow you to keep all your money in your pocket. You see, you go find the church that's suitable to who you are. Well, no, you don't do that. You go find the church that Jesus Christ built, the one over which he is the head, Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. You go find that church. And that church description is found only within the pages of the scriptures. So someone says, well, how do I know if I'm in the wrong church? Well, the Bible says in the book of 1 John chapter 4, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Well, you test. You test, and you don't test by how you feel. You know, the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You can't do what you feel. You have to do what God says, and so you test those congregations based upon what God's Word said. Here's another passage that may aid you in that, and that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, one of my favorite passages, where Paul tells the church there at Thessalonica, he says, "Test all things, but now hold fast to what is good." And so that's what we have to do. We have to test all things. Find out who's following the Lord, who's teaching the truth, and the one that's doing that, you want to hold fast. You want to hold fast to just that. I sure hope that's been helpful to you. Go ahead and call. The lines are open. You can get your question in right now. That number to call is 308-9564. Again, that number is 308-9564.
We are live, and so this is your opportunity to join us as we go to the Bible for the answers to the questions that are on your heart and on your mind. We will not give you the philosophies of man. We will not give you the quotes of man. We will not accentuate or try to build up man in any way. We're just going to go to the Bible for the answers. And so please take this opportunity to find what the Bible has to say on the questions that you have on your mind. From time to time, we have people that call in some very familiar questions that come in, and sometimes they're very unique. And so we appreciate all the questions as they come in, and we will go to the Bible. If you have a friend that is out of state or out of the country, they can always go to our website, which is at BibleAlone.com, www.BibleAlone.com. BibleAlone.com, and they can join us live by hitting the live stream button, or they can download previous archives of these programs. It is completely up to date. So now is your chance. If you have a question about something that we went over a week or two ago, you can go and download those and listen to those at any time, day or night. And so that is an avenue that is open to you. That is our website at BibleAlone.com. Right now, we have both lines available. If you want to call with your voice, you can call our voice line at 308-9564. Both lines are now available. You can call in your question right now. Or if you have a text question, you can text us at 725-9283. And we'll go to the Bible for the answers. And so now we're just waiting to hear from you so that we might be able to go to the Bible for those answers. A special announcement we have concerning those of you that live in the Charleston area, those of you that live downtown Charleston, those of you that live in the West Ashley area, we are planning a meeting to meet with you face-to-face. It is planned for March the 2nd, Friday, and March the 3rd, Saturday, from 6 to 8 p.m. We have reserved for us to meet and to be able to have a Let the Bible Speak right there at Ryan's Restaurant, Ryan's Steakhouse Restaurant at 829 St. Andrews Boulevard. So go ahead and mark this on your calendars, the first Friday and Saturday of March. So that's a little bit over a month from now. We do want you to know that you will be our special friend or guest. We'd be glad to meet you face-to-face. It's not an eating event per se. It is a spiritual event where we'll go to the Bible to let God answer the questions, and we are more than happy to have you join us there in the meeting room at Ryan's Steakhouse at 829 St. Andrews Boulevard. That'll be on March the 2nd and the 3rd. And so mark your calendars for that. We are looking forward to meeting all of you. We're going to try to contact you by mail and also by phone before then. But please go ahead and mark your calendars for March the 2nd and the 3rd. And we will be glad to meet you face-to-face as we get together and let the Bible speak there in person with you. We appreciate your being attentive and tuning in week after week and studying with us, and it is our honor to be able to make this happen. And so don't forget this event. That's March the 2nd and the 3rd, Friday and Saturday night from 6 to 8 p.m. at Ryan's Steakhouse, which is 829 St. Andrews Boulevard. So be sure to try and attend. And we will go to the Bible. We'll be able to meet in person and thus be able to see what the Bible says and thus have all your answers answered in person. Nick, you have a comment?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I wanted to mention that, you know, even if you can't make an event like that, there are times where we are able to hold a Let the Bible Speak in your home. And so if that's something that you are interested in, go ahead and call the operator standing by and let her know that you would be interested in possibly hosting a Let the Bible Speak in your home. That is where you would get a group of people together in your home, and as our schedules would permit, we would come out and be able to answer questions and show you things in the scriptures maybe you haven't seen before. And this would give you an opportunity to not just do it with your family, but also with friends. And that number to call to let them know that you would be interested, to let the operator know that you would be interested in having this Let the Bible Speak in your home is 553-5157. That's 553-5157. If you're just interested in an in-home personal Bible study, let the caller know that. Let the caller operator standing by know that as well, and we'd be more than happy to try to set that up. Again, that's really going to be based upon our schedules. Again, that number is 553-5157. It is time for us to take a break. Even while we're at break, we want to encourage you to go ahead and call in your questions. If you call right now, there's at least one line open and possibly another line. 308-9564. Looked like a live question just came in. And before we take this break, we may decide to try to answer that at this point. Caller, are you there?
Yes.
No, 1 second. All right, go ahead.
This is Brother Ben.
Yes.
I just called. I want to thank you guys for helping me to understand the Bible a whole lot more better on this Happy New Year.
Oh, well, thank you, Ben.
And what you have shared with me, what you have taught me, I pass it on to others. I try to impact others in their life, what you have shared with me from the Bible, and I want to thank you guys for that.
Well, we are honored that you have been such a faithful listener all these years. We are so thankful that you have shown interest, and we look forward to possibly meeting you. Now, would that in the Charleston area involve you as well?
Yes.
Okay, well, maybe you can...
And you inspired me today. The things that you said today, it was very inspirational to me today.
Well, thank you.
It was like a confirmation from the Lord. What you were saying, exactly what I was thinking.
Well, we're just trying to let God be the one that's heard, and His word be that which is the authority.
Right.
Well, thank you, Ben. We sure do appreciate it, and thank you for listening. We sure do value your input.
God bless you, brothers.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Again, it's time for us to take a break, so we'll be right back. We're back live now. We do want you to know we're honored to be able to have you with us today. The calls are now coming in. We sure do appreciate you joining us as we go to the Bible for the answers. Again, that is God, the one that we are to be listening to, and thus we've got to find the answers in His Word. So go ahead and join us if you'd like at 308-9564. If you call at this moment, there's only one line available, so just go ahead and let it ring until we can get to you. Or you can text us at 725-9283, 725-9283. The choice of communication is yours. The question that we will discuss is yours, but God is the one going to be the answering. So we're going to go to His Word for the answer. Nick, you have a question here?
Yes, Dal, I hope I'm pronouncing your name correctly, D-A-L, calls in this question, Acts chapter 5. Says, can a believer be possessed by evil spirits? Can a believer be possessed by evil spirits? Dal, we sure appreciate you calling in. Looking at that text in Acts chapter 5, you don't have a evil spirit possession going on in Acts chapter 5. If you look closely, you'll see that here's a person that just turned to the ways of the devil. When the Bible uses that language, how has Satan filled your heart, just simply means how did you allow the things of the devil, things like lying, things like cheating, to overtake you? And that's all that's happened here with Ananias. The Bible says, starting in verse 1, but a certain man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira had his wife sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds. Now, it doesn't say Satan kept back part of the proceeds. He kept back part of the proceeds. His wife also being aware of it and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? You see, it was Ananias who embraced the ways of Satan. He says, you lied to the Holy Spirit and kept back a part of the price of the land for yourself. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Now, here's a man that had control. And so this is not a picture of what we normally would call demon possession, although that doesn't happen today. Today, when a person falls after Satan or their heart's filled by Satan, it's through a choice. Satan lays the trap out there. Another passage to consider is James chapter 1 and verse 14, where the Bible says, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. That's what happened today. Satan puts the temptation out there, and we're drawn away of our own desires. I hope that's been helpful to you, Dal. We sure appreciate you calling in. 308-9564.
We have Marilyn calling in this question. Her question is texted, and it's, why do I cry so much? Right now, I am down, and I pray and pray. And when I pray to God, does he hear my prayer? What more can I do? I don't have a job. I can't find one. And my financials is bad. People tell me to keep praying, so I do. Please help me to understand it better about the Bible. And so, Marilyn, thank you so much for texting in this question. We're very sorry that you're having to go through such traumatic events that are going on right now. But please know that it sounds like most of the things that you're having to go through there are things that a lot of people are going through. And thus, God promises us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 13, he says, no temptation has taken you, but such as is common to man. So we're not the only ones, but usually we get depressed when we start thinking that we're the only ones. For example, Elijah, he got depressed when he thought he was the only one that was faithful to God, and ended up being in a depression for quite a while. And God finally snapped him out of it by an event of amazing visual effects that God did. But yet at the same time, he told him, get up, quit feeling sorry for yourself. I've got work for you to do. And so he did it, and thus he snapped out of it. And so that is still same true. The answer is still true for today as well. And so as far as your job is concerned and your finances, I think in most of the people I know, and I don't know if it's true of you or not, many times their finances are because they have spent far more than they have made. The world actually caters to this, almost demands for us to do that. When you look at the commercialism going on in magazines, radio, television, billboards, everywhere you look, you see an appeal to spend more, 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 more. And if you don't have enough money to pay for it, then it's as good as cash for 90 days. And that what they don't tell you is what's going to happen after that 90 days, or that, you know, you don't have to make any payments until next year. And what they don't tell you is what's going to happen next year. And so what we don't know is what's going to happen next year. Well, Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 7 says that the borrower is slave to the lender. And so we need to understand that that is a dangerous thing to do. And that is, if we live beyond what our ability to spend, if we spend more than we make, rather what we should do is to spend far less than we have coming in. And thus, we will not find ourselves in such financial distresses if we have an income, that is. Now, you mentioned that there is that you don't have a job, and so we understand that. And thus, we should pray fervently. That is, if we have God's ear, Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2, it brings out that because of our iniquities, God turns away from us, and he will not hear. And so if we have never reconnected with God like what we should in becoming one of his children, then we really do not have his ear that he would hear. And so once we are in Christ, then he certainly hears us. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to have everything that we desire or everything that we would love to have, what we would sometimes call needs. And thus we need to understand what God calls needs. And 1 Timothy chapter 6, God urges us, having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. And thus he defines the needs of this life, not only there, but in Matthew chapter 6, as having food and having clothes. And so there, I don't know of many people today, at least in America, that are in jeopardy of not having clothes, or that is, not by their choice. I know there's people that dress that way on purpose, but that's not what I'm talking about. And that is, they don't have a choice. They do have a choice. I know everybody here in America that I know has plenty of clothes available to them and food. I know just about everybody I know just about has some kind of food to be able to eat. And so we should learn to be content with such basics as that. But we in America We are not content that way. But we are blessed people beyond our beyond what we deserve. And so I don't know if that filters into it at all, but I thought I would point that out to you. I think we do live a little bit too high. So I hope it's been helpful to you. Again, that is several other verses that would fit into that. We started with 1 Corinthians 10:13, and so be sure you look that up. Think about it. Again, the number is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI.
Oh, we have a caller by the name of Kevin calling in this question about if you're called to be a minister or a pastor and you ignore this calling, is it a sin? Well, first of all, Kevin, we want to let you know that as far as a calling to be a minister or a pastor, those are kind of two different things. We are all called to be ministers. A minister meaning a servant. So we are one who serves. So we're all called to be ministers or servants of Christ. We look at Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24. Colossians 3, verse 23 says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." Verse 24, "Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ." So we are all called to be servants. Now, as far as how we are called by the gospel. We are called by Christ coming to this earth in the likeness of flesh. He took on our sins on the cross, and he was dead, buried, and resurrected. So that gospel message, that love of God, sacrificing Christ, that is what calls us all to be ministers or servants of him. So we are all called by that. And we look at the Great Commission accounts in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, as well as Mark 16, verse 15 and 16, as well as Luke 22:46 and 47. So we look at the Great Commission accounts is where God calls us to all be ministers or servants. 24:46 and 47. Now, those are where he calls us to be ministers or servants. Now, as far as a calling to be a pastor, there is no such calling to be a pastor or a calling to be a bishop, presbyter, elder, overseer, all those words meaning the same thing. One who serves in God's church. There is no calling to be a pastor. Now, that's contrary to popular belief. And in a lot of denominational worlds or churchianity nowadays, you will hear, "Oh, I got called to preach," or "The Lord called me to preach." Well, that's nowhere in God's word that someone was called to preach. Now, what we are called to be a pastor. Now, what we do have is the specific qualifications or the character traits that a pastor or bishop or overseer or elder, the qualifications are the characteristics that they possess, which makes them eligible to be in that serving role as a pastor or overseer. We have those in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 2 through 6, as well as with deacons, verses 8 through 12. So really, the first 12 verses of 1 Timothy chapter 3. As well, we also have Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. So that's Titus chapter 1, verses 5 through 9. Now, those are, once again, those are not someone being called to be a pastor or overseer. Those are just the character traits or the traits that someone possesses that would make them eligible to serve in God's church as an overseer in that role. So once again, those are 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 through 12, Titus chapter 1, 5 through 9. Or where those are at. But we were all called to be ministers or servants of Christ. Just not, we don't see a calling to be an overseer or a pastor in Christ's church. It is time for us to take our next break. But while we are break, go ahead and call in your questions or text in your questions. The number here at the station is 308-9564, 308-9564. Ricky?
Yeah, I wanted to encourage all of those of you that have already gone through the Bible Correspondence course, if you would like to take an opportunity to tell the radio audience what you think about the correspondence course that you went through, that way that they could hear it directly from you, we'll be glad to put you through, and you can tell it online on the radio today. So if those of you that have already gone through the course, and there's thousands of you, if you've already gone through the course and you would like to share with the radio audience exactly what you got out of the course, Well, then take this opportunity to share it with the audience. We'll be glad to put you through on live on the air. So don't miss this opportunity as well. So we'll want to go ahead and take a break, and we'll be right back. We are back live now. We do want you to know how thrilled we are that you have joined us, and we pray that the things that we are covering today is a glory to God and very edifying to you. We thank you. And be sure to enroll in that course. And if you have a desire to share with the radio audience what you think about the radio, the correspondence course, then please take this opportunity. I'm sure other people would like to hear from you as well. Last week we gave that invitation, and I believe it was a Martha that called in. We had 10 people jump and enroll in the course right quick, and we are just honored to be able to share it with as many of you that would desire to study God's Word and see what God has to say in His Word. And so don't miss this opportunity. We'll be glad to share with you, as you share with us, what God has done through the correspondence course. Again, one more announcement about those of you that live in the Charleston area, Charleston and West Ashley area. Mark your calendars, March the 2nd and the 3rd, Friday and Saturday, from 6 to 8 p.m. at Ryan's Steakhouse on St. Andrews Boulevard. That's 829 St. Andrews Boulevard. Mark your calendars. There's where our next meeting of Let the Bible Speak in that area is going to be. And so we want you to join us in person. And so we look forward to meeting you there in those dates. That's March the 2nd and 3rd, Friday and Saturday, at Ryan's Steakhouse Meeting Room, where we will be able to let the Bible speak in person there those two nights. So let us have that opportunity to meet you face-to-face. Nick, you have a question?
Yes, Victoria calls about the rapture. She says, are Christians going to be called up before all the hardships? But Victoria, we sure appreciate your calling in. Let me just try to give some information on the rapture. I apologize because this is a subject matter that has been taught and taught and taught, but may not have been taught correctly. First of all, the word rapture is not in the Bible, and most of you listening may know that already. It comes from a Latin word, raptere, which means caught up. It's taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 17. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, talking about what was going to occur on the day of the Lord. The Bible says, for the Lord himself, verse 16, will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Now, in verse 17, that phrase where it says we should be caught up, well, that's where that word's been translated, rapture. Or that's the Latin word for it, rapture, or caught up. But there's just all it's saying is that here's what's going to happen when the Lord returns. Now, every other passage of Scripture in the Bible that talks about when the Lord's going to return puts it in connection with the end of the world. And so there's not this idea that the Lord's going to come back, grab the folks who are caught up, and then life's going to continue on as normal. The Bible just doesn't teach that as a matter of principle. Concerning the hardship that is to come, usually people speak of what they refer to as the tribulation. In the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter and verse 29, the Bible does use the phrase the tribulation and what was going to happen in those days. But in Matthew chapter 24, what you're reading about is a destruction that was going to befall Jerusalem. In fact, that did happen. No matter what you believe concerning Matthew chapter 24 and what it's making reference to, the one thing you cannot reject is that whatever was going to happen was going to happen in that time period, according to verse 34 of Matthew 24, which talks about that generation not passing away. And so whatever was going to happen here in Matthew chapter 24 was going to happen during that time period. In verse 34, Jesus says, surely I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. For that generation didn't pass away until all those things took place. And so I can't look at Matthew 24 and apply it to us today. I hope that's been helpful to you. One other passage. I know we got somebody in line, but I don't want to cut this listener short. Revelation 1 and verse 9, John says, I am your brother in tribulation. And so Christians were going through tribulations during that time period.
they will always be going through tribulation until the Lord returns. 308-9564. Live caller, are you there?
Yes.
Yes, how can we help you?
Hello?
Yes, uh-huh. We can hear you now.
This is Brother Ben again. I heard you talk about when God called, God do not call us.
How that God calls us?
He does not call us to preach.
Right. He calls everybody to preach. Everyone is called by the gospel. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14.
But earlier you said no one is called by God. You said that earlier.
Right. Individually.
You said that it's not scriptural.
Uh-huh.
And I read in Romans 10 and 15, it said, how shall they preach except they be sent? It did not say call.
Right.
How shall they preach except they be sent?
Yes, that's correct.
That's why the Bible is called. I mean, that's why the show is called Let the Bible Speak. Right?
That's right. That's exactly right. I appreciate that very much.
Thank
yes.
you, brothers.
Well, thank you very much. We now, as an evangelist, everyone is called to serve the Lord. I mean, there are many called, but few are chosen. So a few people choose to serve the Lord, and so that's by their choice that occurs. And as a child of God, He expects all of us to let the gospel also be going through us. Romans chapter 5, verse 14, 15, 16. Where he says, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have one teach you again of the first principles. And so he expects all of us to become allowing the gospel to flow through us. Dogs
so,
to be teachers.
So what you're saying to me, as I'm listening to you, saying like, your brother's teaching me the Bible, right? And you're teaching a whole lot of others. Before I step out there and call it myself, want to teach you first, I must be taught.
Well, we need to know what we are teaching, what we're saying is from God, lest we become a false teacher. And so we need to make certain that we are speaking as the oracles of God. And that is certainly a precaution that we should follow. If we go beyond what God says, then we are going to be in jeopardy. So we've got to know what God says and just follow it.
Right. That's like I like karate, right? And if I don't go to karate school, I would never learn.
That's right. That's right. But you know, the same school that that James went to, or Peter that went to, you know, although the apostles had the miraculous power, there are many individuals, as the church was scattered abroad, many of them didn't have the miraculous knowledge of God's word. They
right.
had to be taught, and they were taught with one another, by one another,
right.
And that's the same avenue that we have today. And Romans talks about that, as you quoted earlier.
Right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
By the way, Ben, have you already taken the correspondence course?
Not so.
You haven't. Okay. Well, we encouraged you. We would encourage you to do that, and as well as any others that are listening today, so
and
that then, we might all be edified.
And in the near future, I search it out. In the near future, I search it out too.
Sounds good, Dan.
To be part of it.
There you go.
We sure appreciate you calling in today.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening. We sure appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
You know, Ricky, as you guys were talking, I began to go back in my mind and do recall Paul talked about being called, but specifically he was called to be an apostle. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1, and then also Romans 1 and verse 1, he speaks of being called. But as you look further, and I believe it's Romans chapter 7, it's where he talks about this idea of being called, and in general talking about anybody else, really it's 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And it's the idea that we are all called to be servants of the Most High God. I want to get that passage. That would be 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 22, which really talks about us being called to be a servant. I think that's what Chuck highlighted earlier.
All right, we have another caller by someone to remain anonymous. They have two questions. They're a little related. They may not have initially known that, but we'll see. The first question is, why do women pastors preach over men? Well, caller, I don't know. You're going to have to ask whoever they are doing that. But it's not scriptural, and it's not given authority by God. So you're going to have to ask them that. And when you ask them if they can give you a book, chapter, verse, answer from God's word. I guarantee you they can't. But just ask them and see what they say. So that's that question. The next question is, why does the church let so many worldly things into the church? Well, those questions are kind of related, and I do have some scriptures where I can give you for this one. Acts chapter 20, we're going to see a letter where Paul is writing to the elders or the overseers in the church of Ephesus. And so he's going to, I'm going to pick up in verse 28. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Now, this is Paul writing to a letter to the church of the elders of the church of Ephesus. So Acts 20, verse 28 says, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." So this is his church. Verse 29, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, and to draw away disciples after themselves." So part of the reason why these worldly things are coming into the church, it's because there are worldly people who are seeking to boost themselves up and to draw people after themselves. They're not seeking God's will, and then not truly trying to serve God. So that's part of the reason why there are these things coming into the church. As well as consider 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 1, says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines or teaching of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared." Now see, they speak these lies and this hypocrisy, and they have their own conscience seared. When your conscience is seared, that carries the idea of being cauterized, or the numbing of further pain. So if your conscience is numb to further pain, well, you're just continuing in this sin, and you're unrepentant. And that's what many of these people in these churches have done. Their conscience is seared to where they no longer feel guilty for teaching the wrong things are doing wrong. So getting back to your first question about the women pastors and then and as well as others things in these churches that are going on. Remember now, Christ only has one church, and Christ is not divided, and Christ's church is not divided. Now there are other churches nowadays who are divided. There are other churches who don't serve Christ according to how Christ told us to serve him, and how Christ is pleased to be served. And if you're not a part of that church, well, then that's the church that you should want to be a part of. And you will see that church by following God's word and loving Christ the way he wants to be loved and serving him the way he wants to be served. Carla, hope that's been helpful to you. It's time for us to take our next break, and we are going to be coming back to you right after the break. But right now, call 308-9564 for your question. The lines are open, 308-9564. We'll be right back. We are back live, and thank you for joining us, and we have the lines open, and go ahead and call in your question, 308-9564, or if you have a question you want to text in your question, you can do that as well, 725-9283, or Ricky, you have a question?
Yes, I have two questions here from two different people. One is, if a person said, "God spoke to me," unquote, is that person reliable? Does God really speak to people today? Is this okay in this age, in this time? Or does he only speak through the Bible? So I'm going to make that question and the next question answered at the same time. The next question is, are there different religions like Baptist or Pentecostal? Are those man-made? And so both of these questions can be answered in the same passages. In Galatians chapter 1, beginning with verse 8, God says, But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which was preached to you, let him be accursed. So God brings out that if anybody comes up with something new that is not in his word, then they are to be accursed. And so when I run into an individual and they say that God said to me, my first words after they say that, I won't interrupt them, I'll listen to them. But then the first question I will ask them after that is, where is that in the Bible? And if they cannot show that to me in the Bible, then yes, that person is accursed. And that word is anathema, which is to annihilate. It is like a super curse. That's what God wants to happen to anyone that comes up with anything that is not in his word. So that answers the second question as well about all the religious different divisions and religions that are out there today. If we come up with anything that is not in his word in the name of religion, then they are to be accursed. Yes, the Bible is that narrow, and that's why Jesus said, straight is a gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. We need to find that narrow path to God's people to be nothing more than what God says. Thank you so much for your callers. We sure do appreciate those questions today, and may the Lord bless you as we go into and learn more of what God would have for us. Again, the numbers are 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. And we will let the Bible speak to the questions on your mind. Let me go ahead and give this announcement again before we get to the end run, the dash, because of so many questions coming in. March the 2nd and 3rd, those of you that live in the Charleston, West Ashley area, we would invite you out for our next neighborhood meeting, where we meet face-to-face and have a Let the Bible Speak there in your neighborhood. That'll be Friday and Saturday from 6 to 8 p.m. That'll be March the 2nd and 3rd. The location is at Ryan's Steakhouse, which is at 829 St. Andrews Boulevard. So mark your calendars. It's just a little over a month from now, and we look forward to meeting you face-to-face on those dates. Nick, you have a question?
Yes, Erica calls in. Before I ask Erica's question, just want to encourage our listeners to go ahead and call 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that's on your heart. That's 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. Erica calls in, as well as we do have a text question. I'm going to try to answer these questions at the same time. Erica says, is getting a tattoo a sin? Well, Erica, in the New Testament, and specifically in the New Testament, what happens sometimes when I ask this question, people call and say, what about the Old Testament? There's a passage. I'm going to talk about the New Testament because that's where the church was established, and those who make up the church fall in the New Testament as far as the laws that we are governed by. And in the New Testament, we really just don't have anything that tells us we can't have a tattoo and that it's a sin. That's just not in the New Testament. There are principles of scriptures a person may choose to apply, but I can't bind that on you. You can't bind that on me. The only thing I would give you as a matter of a warning is Galatians 5 and verse 19. Where the Bible talks about the works of the flesh, and oftentimes there are individuals that get tattoos, and some of those tattoos are actually sinful by the actual tattoo itself. Sometimes it shows nudity or curse words, things of that nature. And in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19, talking about the works of the flesh, the Bible does talk about lasciviousness or lewdness, and that would be sin. So just keep that in mind. We have another caller who calls in and asks, is smoking a sin? Is smoking a sin? Smoking would fall into the category for most people as an addiction. And so we cannot be addicted to anything except Christ. Then that wouldn't be sin. But the idea of being addicted to a chemical or being addicted to food, things of that nature, that's a problem. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. We ought not be brought under the power of anything, like smoking or drinking or food or there's some people brought under the power of chocolate. We should not be brought under the power of anything. Anything physical should not be controlling us. I sure hope that's been helpful to you. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. That's the number to call, 308-9564.
We have a caller by the name of Elvina. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. Elvina. Elvina calls and questions, what does God say about remarriage? Well, it's three passages I'm going to give you. I'm not going to read any of them. I'm just going to give them to you, and hopefully you can take the time to study them on yourself, on your own accord. But the places to look at is Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 12. That the majority of really your straightforward answer is going to be in Matthew chapter 19, verse 3 through 12. And as far as specific situations, is Romans chapter 7 and also 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Those are also two that you may want to look at. But all God says, well, the majority of your answers, really, your question can be answered in those three passages. That's Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 12, Romans chapter 7, the entire chapter, and 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the entire chapter. And those are where that's going to be at for you. Hopefully that's been helpful to you, as well as anyone else who may have had that question. Ricky?
Yes, we have Cheryl calling in. By the way, if you the lines are now available at 308-9564, that's 308-WJNI. You still have time to get your question in, so don't miss out on this. 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We have Cheryl calling in this question asking, what does it take to be a disciple of Christ? Well, Cheryl, that's the kind of question we really like to address, and we thank you so much for asking it, and we are honored to be able to share with that with the radio audience that answer, and thank you for asking it. But Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's where it all begins. As we hear God, as we hear what he says, that brings about faith, which is so very important. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Later on, Jesus said, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So not only belief, but repentance is also necessary. And so when you look in Acts chapter 2, we see all of this coming together on the very first day the church began. Peter was preaching there, and he says, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God made this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they asked, what must we do? And Peter told them to repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of our religious friends will take that baptism out of that passage altogether. Some of them will say, well, that's not water baptism, that's baptism of the Holy Spirit, or maybe some other thing that they might try to make it. But that was an instruction by God through Peter telling them to be baptized. So we know it can't be Holy Spirit baptism because Jesus is the one that baptizes in the Holy Spirit and with fire, according to John. So, therefore, if people were told to be baptized, it cannot be that baptism that John was talking about, that Jesus would baptize in the Holy Spirit. That is something God does. So it is what man is commanded to do. Thus, it is the immersion in water. Matter of fact, in chapter 10 of Acts, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? They had already received the Holy Spirit there in Acts chapter 10, and yet they still had to be baptized in water. Now, what does that do? Well, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, the subject being Noah and how that he was saved in the ark through the water, it says, the like figure unto where baptism doth also now save us by the resurrection of Christ Jesus. And it even clarifies, it is not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but it is an answer of God, and it is an answer of a good conscience before God. That's 1 Peter 3, verse 21. So that should end the discussion as far as what kind of baptism that is talking about. So what does it do? Well, that verse says it saved us, 1 Peter 3:21. And then Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, and Romans 6 and verse 3 brings out that it puts us into Christ. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? So therefore, that's what puts us into Christ. And if we're not in Christ, we have no blessings. Thus, we better be found in Christ when we meet him face to face, or he will say to us, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.
Just a quick question before we go to break. We have a text question coming in. The last three digits is 960. The caller says, is John the Baptist a disciple? The word disciple simply means a student or a follower of another, a follower of a teacher, if you will. And so John was, in fact, a disciple of God. And in essence, he was a disciple of Jesus. He may not have realized that. But in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so Jesus was there in the beginning. And Jesus says, all that the Father has are mine, is mine. And so whatever the Father had was Jesus' teaching. And so in one sense, John the Baptist was a disciple. But if you're talking about a disciple like the other apostles, well, no, he was not. In fact, John had a specific role. His role was to prepare the way. And that comes out in Matthew chapter 11, in Matthew 11th chapter, in verse 10, you find the Bible says, assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there is none risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. I read verse 11, but verse 10 shows how that he was to prepare the way for Jesus. And so that was John the Baptist's role. I sure hope that's been helpful to you. So join us right now. Go ahead and call 308-9564. 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak. It's time for us to take our final break, in fact. But even while we're at break, you can call in your questions, 308-9564. We'll be right back. Again, we want to encourage you to take advantage of the correspondence course that is available to you. Go ahead and call the operator standing by. That number again is 553-5157. This is our last segment, so go ahead and get your question in, 308-9564. 308-9564.
Yeah, a caller calls in with this question. What does the Bible say about interracial dating? Well, it's going to give you a principle to apply, and the principle you'll see is in, first, let's look at Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Acts chapter 10, verse 34 says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive God shows no partiality. So our personal favoritism may be your translation. So God doesn't show that. And if we're going to be servants of God and followers of God, we shouldn't either. So we shouldn't show any kind of partiality or favoritism. As well as consider Colossians chapter 3 in Colossians chapter 3 verse 11. Here we go. Colossians chapter 3 verse 11 says, starting in verse 10 actually, Colossians chapter 3 starting in verse 10 says, and have put on a new man who was renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. That will be God. Verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So the Bible doesn't say anything about interracial dating, but it does talk about the principle that we can apply to that of showing partiality or favoritism, or there's just nothing like that in God's word. We shouldn't be condemning anyone who wants to date interracially or not. There's just nothing in the Bible about that. So we'll let the Bible speak on that. Ricky, you have a question?
Yes, we have a question from the first question is, when someone's conscience is numb, can they still be saved? That's a really good question. We have not had that, I don't think. And so that's a really good question. And I would direct you to 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. And that question is, or that verse says, for godly sorrow produces repentance to salvation, not to be regretted. But sorrow of the world produces death. So, unless we have a godly sorrow that leads us to repentance, then no, we cannot be saved. And so we've got to have a godly sorrow, that is a sorrow before God, motivated by him because of our sin and what we have done to Christ by that sin, then in order for them to be able to repent. And so that has to be the prep of come before the repentance. They can believe, the devil believes, but he has no godly sorrow, nor does he have repentance. And so belief will lead to a godly sorrow, should if they truly desire to love God. And then that should lead to a repentance, which should lead to a confession, which should lead to someone being baptized into Christ. And so thus their conscience, if it remains numb and they do not have a godly sorrow because of that sin, then they will never repent. And so Jesus said, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Luke 13 and verse 3. The second question is, if you desire someone romantically who is not yet saved, are you wrong, or should you try to save them? Well, first of all, we should see a principle that that God would have us to try and understand, that we should not link ourselves with anyone that is that will lead us away from Him. And he makes this argument very clear in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where he brings out their fellowship. In verse 14, it says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness, and what accord has Christ with Belial? And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has a temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people." So what he wants us to do is come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. "Do not touch what is unclean, and I'll receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." And so any kind of relationship or any kind of connection or fellowship that we have with anyone that will draw us away from Him is one that we should abstain from. However, yes, of course we should try to lead someone to Christ, because all God desires everyone to repent and come to a knowledge of the truth, 2 Peter chapter 3 brings out. So we should try to help them to come to a knowledge of the truth. But by no circumstance should we ever let them cause us to be conformed to the world. Okay,
Nick, I believe we have a live caller.
Okay, we have a
caller,
live.
Are you there?
Hello.
All right, can we help you?
Yes, my name is Richard Dean Rouse, and I'm just calling in because I would like to say on the air what Let the Bible Speak program meant to me. I'm one of the new enrollees.
Oh, wonderful. Well, okay, what did you think of the correspondence course?
I love the correspondence course. I've learned so much from it, and I like the way it's set up where you don't go on man's word. You go strictly to the Bible for all your answers. You are taught to do that, and you're taught to believe in what God says in His word and not what man says. I love my homework assignment. A lot of how it was set up, for you to better understand what you're doing. And then I love the teaching on baptism.
Well, thank you so much, Richard Dean. We certainly appreciate you calling and sharing that with the audience. And everyone just heard that. And we want to thank you very much. We are glad to be able to assist you.
Thank you.
Well, God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Again, those of you that just heard that, there is someone that has enrolled in the course and has been taking the course and has been active in the course, if I remember right. And so we do want you to know that that is available to you as well. So make certain that you do not miss the opportunity today to enroll in your, have that opportunity to be sent, have it sent to you as well. You can call 553-5157, and we will send that in tomorrow's mail to you. Again, that number is 553-5157 for that correspondence course. Come directly to you even this week, and so don't miss out on this opportunity.
Time is winding down, but I have two questions here. I'll try to get through fairly quickly. Rodney calls in. He asks about Matthew chapter 24, and I think this is in response to the earlier question. He says, why are we still waiting for His return? His, he refers to Jesus, And that is because when we looked at Matthew chapter 24 earlier, I pointed out that everything from verse 34 and back all the way back up to somewhere around verse 4 was to occur within that generation. You look again at verse 34. Jesus says, "Surely I say to you that this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place." And so all the things that from verse 34 back up to around verse 4 was going to take place in that generation. But now why are we still waiting for Jesus Christ? Well, if you look at verse 36, Jesus then speaks about his return. He says, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angel of heaven, but my Father only." And so Jesus does speak of him coming back. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with a fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up." And so the day of the Lord shall come, and that's why we continue to wait for Jesus Christ. But when he comes, that will be the end of the world. Both the heavens and the earth will be burnt up with a fervent heat. For sure, appreciate you calling in. Cheryl calls in this question about Luke chapter 19, verse 10, which talks about seeking and saving those who are lost, the very reason why Jesus came. She says, "Well, how do we know who the lost are?" Well, the lost are is the person who has not yet obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this phraseology, "obey the gospel," is something that the Holy Spirit saw fit to provide for us. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, "In flaming fires, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." And so the gospel message is a gospel to obey. So a person must hear that word. They must repent of their past sins. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, the reason why they have to hear it. Romans 10:17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." They must confess. It's a confession of faith that they make before men. We see that in Acts chapter 8, where the Ethiopian eunuch confessed that he believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And a person must be baptized. Baptized into Christ. Romans chapter 6, you'll see Acts chapter 2, verse 38, they were baptized for the remission of sins, to have their sins removed. And thus that person is now in Christ. And once they're in Christ, now they have to do all the things that God says in order to stay right in his sight. Caller that just called us in, Cheryl, if you have further questions, go ahead and call the operator standing by, 553-5157, and we'll be more than happy to spend more time talking about that very critical subject, and that's offered to everyone.
They, remember that you can continue to enroll in the course even after the broadcast today just by listening to the short message that is prepared each day on Dial-A Bible Study. So just because the radio program has ended doesn't mean you can't enroll. So go ahead and avail yourself of that even today. That's 553-5157. We want to thank everyone for joining us today. We want to remind you to mark your calendars, those of you that live in the Charleston, West Ashley area, for March the 2nd and 3rd. That's when we're going to be in your neighborhood at the Ryan Seafood on St. Andrews Boulevard. That's a Friday night and Saturday night from 6 to 8 p.m. So mark your calendars. We want to thank everybody for joining us today. And we, Lord willing, will be able to be with you again next week as we let the Bible speak.